Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. I'm not going to prolong you today because I'm not the main presenter today. I'm very good at being the second man, and I'm honored and privileged. In the law, they call it being the second seater in a trial. I don't mind being the third seater in this brother's trial. And we have a case, Imam W.D. Muhammad versus the crooks and deceivers of the world, the rescuer. And we have with us a man that's graduated from the University of Georgia. When even the thought of going to the University of Georgia, being an African man, was enough to place you in the mental institution. Then went on to the University of Miami, where it was hardly a walk in the park, the tip of the USA, and from there to Madison for graduate work, and law, an LLM, and on to illustrious law practice, civil, criminal litigator, legislator, community activist, and most importantly, a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, an ardent student. He didn't come in through the Nation of Islam. He didn't come through the lessons. He came straight to the blessings of God and Imam W.D. Muhammad and the answer to our prayers. I speak of none other than the appropriate name, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, the interpreter of dreams, the interpreter of the nightmare called the Muslim world, the interpreter of the nightmare called the African-American world, the interpreter of the nightmare called the American world. And now moving forth to give us a clear dream and interpretation of events, including but not limited to Sandra Bland, the assassinations and killings of African-Americans under the color law. I present to some and introduce to others the noble and honorable Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. As I greet you in peace of the peace that only God can give, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Dearly beloved audience, with Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank Him for the gift and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah, Almighty God. And what follows of that salute, or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophets, mentioned in Bible, and it is given in our Quran. Dearly beloved audience, again, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We, out of a dab and manners, thank Brother Imam Alfred Muhammad, the Imam that has been raised up as a almost like a thief in the night, while all the other big boys were circulating around the country, disseminating their material, pushing themselves forward, and not really pushing forward the boss with the hot sauce. They thought that because he was removed from the physical plane, that it was all over. But Imam Afrit rises out of relative obscurity, been around a long time, but Allah allowed mud to be put over people's eyes so they couldn't see him out of their peripheral vision. Even Satan was asleep. And this man coming like a thief in the night, very loyal and dedicated to Imam Waqtadi Muhammad and also to his son, not based upon blood and ancestry and that kind of jahiliyyah, coming like a thief in the night, seeing the excellent uswa of Imam Waqtadi Muhammad II, not looking for a jinn fiery altar, but one built on solid character. And he said, I can support this man because he supported his father, and I supported his father because he supported Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I supported his father because he was obedient to God. And I'm looking at this young man, and I support this young man because he too is obedient to God. And I'm going around looking for men like Imam Salam who respects that, who admires that, and who won't take a wooden nickel for anything when it comes to Imam. So now, getting brothers like myself been around, yes, there's no shame in my game. Unless Allah show me something real big and real quick, I'm going to support the Imam leadership of Imam Waqtadi Muhammad II the way I diligently for 30 plus years from 1975 to 2008 supported his father. And I fear not the criticism of the criticizer in making that decision. Don't tell me about what happened with no wife after the man passed and his legacy and his assets. That's beyond our control. I want to see a person of solid character who loves his father. All the other mature leaders, they didn't step forward and take hold of the mantle, laid back in the cut, did their own thing. Now it's time for us to reassemble, to reunite. We're not going to let a mission that started in 1930, people struggle up until 2015, if you think we're going to let that mission just die out and dissipate, you got another thought showing up coming. Ain't no way. So stay out there doing your thing. I know all of us been around, we getting hoary head like Zachariah. What are we going to leave after we go to the grave? Some of us in a year, some of us in 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, but we gone. And you can come willingly or unwillingly. You got to come. When you hit the grave, you're going to bear witness that you should have reassembled with this great legacy of Farad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, and Imam Waqtadi Muhammad. You're going to bear witness. It may be unwillingly at that time, but you got to bear. So why not use the excellence faculty of the human being? Exercise your freedom of choice and come willingly or unwillingly. Come willingly. But let me let you know, Allah is not in need of any puffed up, big-headed servant. Allah would do this thing himself if Allah has to. Let's just move right along. So we thank the Imam for that gracious introduction, but we know that, alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah. And we're not looking for praise. If I was looking for praise, I'd be out there running for Mav Selma. first Muslim Mav Selma. Got a good chance of winning, but I don't want it. So I'm not looking for accolades or praise. What are we looking for? That Allah reveal some of the very fingertips of the Nation of Islam in the mission of Imam Waqtuddin Muhammad. That he reveal some of the very fingertips. If I see that in this lifetime, I can go to my grave in peace, inshallah. Debunking the myth of Ham. Reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. We all are familiar with the story of Samson and Sambo. We all are familiar. And it came out of the book called the Bible. But let me tell you the recent events in the world news. We can see the story of Sambo being reflected in the motherly book, not Mother Matter, but the motherly book in terms of the historical expression of the nations of the world. The nations of the world. Signs are in man's social historical order, as well as in Mother Matter and in ourselves. So I've studied the story of Samson and Sambo out of the book called the Bible. I never did think that I would see the very order of events projecting that same message. So let's run through it. If you notice, I have to modify my presentation. Cut back on the passion, the force, the exertion, because I didn't understand. I'm not as young as I used to be, and I could present like that with that kind of energy and force for hours in my younger days without damaging either my throat or my vocal cords. But those days are over. Time, like that old-fashioned washing machine, has squeezed that out of me. So I can only use that style now selectively, and there's no need for me to use it today. So if you don't mind, let me revert to my style as a lecturer. When Allah blessed me to be a professor at law, Syracuse University, way back in 1977 when I was barely shaving. I remember having this Caucasian woman out of Utica, New York, named Betty Mooka, and she was maybe in her 50s, and she used to come up to me and tell me, "Professor Salam, you're barely shaving. I have a son who look older than you." Back then, those days, Allah blessed me to be associate professor at law, Syracuse University College of Law. And so let me revert back to that style. The issue, what is the keynote word, an incident that ties happenings together. Three global happenings I will identify: the large finding of that debris from 777 airline, the leaving of that shale icebreaker, the Finica, out of Portland, Oregon, going up to the St. John's Bridge on the Willamette River, where protesters were. And thirdly, actually four. Thirdly, the return of Ham, triumphant and victorious, to the land of the burning spears, the Mau Mau, Kenya, and his return to the home of the Abyssinian king, who gave refuge to those believers, Sahabas of Prophet Muhammad, who migrated to Ethiopia. And we see, after all those years, one with the name of President Barack Hussein Obama coming back openly as Ham to the land of Cam, to the land of Cush, to the land of Nubia, as an uplifted civilizer and protege of the late Elijah, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm Shabazz, and Imam, the late Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. I didn't say this. His life says it. His book says it. In the final fourth incident, and listen carefully, that lion mane hair Donald Trump visiting Great Britain in its territory at the same time this fake fallen angel allegedly fell out the sky, and they had it all over the internet in London. Now, we know no angel has fell out the sky. We know that. But that did hit the headlines with Donald Trump's, listen to this, lion mane hair. And we talking about Samson now. We know about his riddle. So now let's move on to the key operative. What is the key operative event that connects as the axle from which all the other spokes expand out or branch out on the wheel? The tragic murder of Samuel DeBoer. Now, the main syllable in that last name is Bo, but in the plural, the first part of the name is Sam. When you put them together, you clearly get Sambo. You clearly get Sambo. The reporter reported this event in Portland, Oregon, Sam Carabani, reinforces the importance of that. The second clue with this event is that Samson and the men of ancient lore, they were depicted artistically with their hair expanding from their heads like rays. So we see this officer that murdered Sam. His first name is Ray. The last name has 10, and that connects us to the biography of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and all the leadership that ensued from him. I've said many times that he was not just from Sandersville, but he was from a place called Ten Now. And that Ten Now, the man said 10 is the number of consciousness. And now represent consciousness of the great knowledge that evolved from that civilization, that mother civilization along the Nile. And so when the Imam talked about Sambo, said they make it mockery. They say, we remember when you were the light of civilization along the River Nile. So Elijah was born near, outside of Sandersville, near Deep Step in Tenau, because through his line of leadership would come one who would be blessed with an understanding of that knowledge that grew out of that great civilization on the Nile. Of course, I'm referring to his son, Imam Wahtuddin Muhammad. It's clear. Now, again, back to this article about Shell. It was brought to the attention of the world by Rachel Maddox, this particular problem where these protesters were strung out on the St. John Bridge on the Willamette River, blocking the tip of the icebreaker Phoenix. Sound like Phoenix. From going up to the Arctic, breaking ice and drilling oil. So they were protesting against that. And she brought on another Rachel that was describing the event up in Oregon. If you do research on the diminished form of Rachel, you see also that name is Ray as well. Ray, in the feminine sense, is short for Rachel. So Rachel Maddow, she brings on this other Rachel, and Ray kills Sam, and the main reporter out of Oregon also is named Sam. This is Yom Medin, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will make this thing clear with a certainty of sight. Say we will see it with a certainty of sight, but only if our eyes are not closed. And some of us, after downing our powerful sleeping pill of ritualism in the masjid, we're sleeping through this Yom Medin, Day of Judgment revolution. And we claim to believe, but we don't see anything. We don't see anything. Now, this event took place in Hamilton County, Ohio. So not only is Sam the victim, Sam Booth's abode, but this whole story is about him. What was happening with President Barack Hussein Obama, but more importantly, the legacy of the Hamitic leadership from Elijah to Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad. Now, this young lady, look at it, in Texas, in the county that's related to the name Wallace. I talked about that in Texas. Her name was Sandra. Her last name begins with a B. But she was subject to a ridiculous traffic stop. But she ended up dead. So that commotion did not show the people. But in Yom Medin, Allah follows up events with commotion followed by off-repeated commotion. He also expedites. Back in the day before Yom Medin, some of these events which brings about a prima facie case or clear evidence may have taken 5-10 years. Now they don't take 5 weeks. So she ended up dead. Some say suicide, some suspect others. But the bottom line, from that bogus stop, she ended up dead. But that did not give us the message with certainty of sight. So another event followed. Commotion after off-repeated commotion. Well, brother, how do you know it's connected? Well, do your research. Sam had an intimate woman whose name was Sandra. As well as that victim in Texas, Sandra Bland. But, brother, that's just a coincidence. Well, why did her last name begin with a B, too? Sandra Bland, this lady was named Sandra Beasley. Oh, I don't want to believe it unless she had the exact same last name. I'm not asking you to believe anything. And remind you of the relationship between Sandra as a feminine form of Alexander. Remind you that a form of Alexander is Sandra, like in Sandersville. Remind you that there is a famous American by the name of Alexander Hamilton. Remind you that there's a big play dealing with his life on Broadway, and that the Son of Ham, who returned triumphantly in Africa before he left, he went to view that play. Remind you that the alleged murderer of Alexander Hamilton is named Aaron Burr. Remind you that right outside of Sandersville is a little village called Warith, similar to the Warith in Imam's name. And that in this little village, there is a jail where they show where Aaron Burr. What's the relationship between Aaron, name projected right in a little town called Warith? What's the scriptural connection? Not only that, Elijah Muhammad stated clearly that he left Georgia because he had seen enough racial hatred to last him for multiple lifetimes. What was a key incident? In his hometown, one day he was walking through the woods and saw a neighbor, a brother, was hanging, had been lynched. His last name was Hamilton. That traumatic experience produced a situation where the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad actually wet the bed for a few years before he matured after seeing that incident. While he was working on the railroad in Macon, Georgia, around about the time he got married, the Cherokee Railroad, an African-American over there in Macon by the name of Hamilton was lynched. This Hamilton constantly comes up in the biographical narrative of the Muhammads. So we shouldn't be shocked that what happened in Hamilton, Ohio, is really reflecting upon the great Hamitic leaders in this culture who evolved out of the D-Main or the D-Lionized state of Sambo to the state of Samson. Elijah Muhammad and his disciples and his son, his successor, went from Sambo to Samson. Now, let us move right along. How you gonna get, brother, further into the scripture of Sam's boat? We'll take that right on. Very, very simply. Two boys are missing off the coast of Florida. And they are lost at sea. The religious establishment of the West, under the primary auspices of the Holy See of Catholicism, followed up the lion-like actions of European men who colonized Africa, who brought a system of imperialism. They came like Roman lions, using their superior military technology to intrude into Africa, Kenya, Ethiopia, West Africa, enslave our people. But it was also their religious system that brought us the honey of docility and love that took away the lion and the man, took away the mane that represent that leader who defends the community. Throughout our history on the African continent, also in America, there were many lion-like freedom fighters. We know the history, but the overwhelming majority were de-lionized, made docile and passive through a religious system that was made from the bone of the second Adam, the real second Adam, Jesus, the church, the crooked use of law, the curved rib bone. Why Jupiter, Florida? Jupiter means it's the largest planet in our solar system, but look at it. Jupiter, P-A-T-E-R, P-I-T-E-R, that's from the word paternal, which means father. That the Jew fathered the Western religious system. The good, the bad, and the ugly. In their Hollywood mythology, the father at the Ice Kingdom before it blows up is Jor-El. Play on Joel, the Joel. And say his son was named Kael. Oh, yes. So, Jupiter, Zeus, they call him. The four-letter tetragrammaton. The YW, Yahweh. The four sacred letters, God. The I Am God. These people under that dispensation raped Europa or took over Europe and managed them. How? Look at the two boys that are missing. One is named Perry, which means little Peter. And the other one is named Corn. Corn is a Jewish high priest. Paul in the Sanhedrin, of the Jewish high priest, they were responsible for proselytizing among the Gentile. Perry Cohen. But now the religious establishment in the West is lost at sea like these two boys. They can't find a formula to continue the natural form of marriage that God has established for the sons and daughters of Adam. They can't stop it. They're lost at sea. The other lost individual was named Austin Stephanos, a form of Stephen. Do you remember that Stephen was the first martyr, the true Christian, that was murdered by Paul in the Sanhedrin? His name is Austin, which is a form of Augusta or Augustine. Meaning like St. Augustine and the disciple or the supporter Stephen, they represent that good impulse in the Christian deen. But Perry and Corn, the leaders of the Holy See, represent the deviating ones. Jupiter, Jor-El, the father of the Ice Man. Then I tell you, in Oregon, that icebreaker was going to the Arctic to break that ice so that they could drill oil. Don't you see that Allah is breaking the doctrine that was established artificially by the church, the doctrine of Isis, that created all these icicles, and that the man drilled underneath that ice and discovered the divine oil of wisdom? Now, watch how this thing works. I told my granddaughter, I say, look, go and take tell me where the planet Jupiter is located in the heavenly wheel, what zone? Now, let me tell you, smart Alex, I know that because of the precision of the equinox, that when they say that an object is in one sign, that that's misdirected. I know that. But in the collective mythology of man, based upon the symbolic idea that the macrocosm, the big universe, is reflected in the microcosm, the small universe of man, that there is a cosmic resonance there, that there is no physical emanation from any zodiacal sign coming down on Earth and mechanically influencing individual life or collective life. But those signs in the cosmological microcosm gives a message that correlates with, that connects with, that resonates what's happening in man's society as well as his own soul. I know that. They came back and told me that the planet physically Jupiter, in the mythological sense, is located right now in the sign of Leo. They didn't have to tell me that. My intuition told me that. So that fact that is located in the sign Leo, the sign of the lion, in this mythological system, in the sun sign context, they would say that our host was born under that sign. We don't believe in that baby astrology. But there is a surah in the Quran called the Zodiac, dealing with a deep cosmic science. These astrologers attempt to steal a hearing, but every time they do it with their jinn nature, Allah does not give them the wisdom, does not allow it. They are pursued with a piercing flame. But nevertheless, during this period, July 25th rolled around, last Saturday was his birthday. He born under the sign of the lion. Two other Hermetic brothers that's relevant in this message today, President Barack Hussein Obama, in that mythological system, that's a similar sign. Also, August 4th, in our late great Hermetic leader, Benjamin Elijah Mays, with the name of Elijah in his middle name, leader of the House of Moors. Also, August 1st, 1894, related to the Lion King. So that all these things are connected. From Sandra Bland to Sandra Beasley, Sam's lady. From Jupiter Florida to Jupiter Leo, then into our next story. Cecil the Lion that was murdered and killed by Walter Camper, or Walter the Hunter, symbolizing the process by which the main nature was stripped from the African male as a result of slavery, imperialism, and colonialism. Stripped by the hunter who lives in the camp. Cecil the Lion That's what his name. Remember the story of Samson. What's sweeter than honey? And what's stronger than a lion? Who does this Cecil represent? Cecil John Rhodes? Remember this incident in Oregon at the St. John's River. Cecil, his name is found in the lion. His middle name, John, is found at that bridge where these protesters are protesting with Obama's name on it. And Rhodes is the former name of the country where Cecil was killed. It's called Zimbabwe now. It's called Zimbabwe. Who was Cecil John Rhodes? The prototype of a European imperialist and colonizer that went into Africa with a scheme to use line power, military might, supplemented with missionary Bible power, to strip the African male of his mane, where his family and his home was his castle. Who's in a home? A king or a ruler? What was that movie called? The Lion King? The idea of lion with mane deals with that internal ruler in every human being, especially that ruler in the male, that gives him the ability to protect, provide, and maintain for his family, to defend them. Why the Walter? There was a Christian theologian by the name of Walter Rauschenbusch, I think is his name, that taught about the beloved community. John Lewis and Dr. King followed that idea. But the idea of love was distorted with us, and it put us in a position where we were willing to suffer and tolerate all abuses from the colonizer, the imperialist, and the slave master. Unnatural use. Suffer peacefully. Abandoning our God-given right of self-defense. To make use of aggression against those who transgressed against us. They said George Zimmerman was a lion. He had a right to use his lion power to stand his ground against Trayvon. But Trayvon, as an African-American male, did not have a right of lion power. When this stranger assaulted him and semi-kidnapped him, he couldn't defend himself. He couldn't use any lion power. In a week or so, we will be remembering Watts. It means the son of Walter. Dr. King went to Watts, and the brothers out there rebelled against him because of this extreme use of love power. And see, Watts means son of Walter. That activity was an offspring of hundreds of years of the brothers repressing their line power, self-defense, and it blew up in a rage in Watts some 50 years ago next month. Nature automatically corrects an imbalance. The law of power was given to us in the extreme. Love those who abuse you. If your enemy hits you Don't use no line. Turn the other cheek. If he steal your coat, don't use no line. Be loving and giving the rest of your rags. But brother, that doesn't get. But that fact that that line is named Cecil, and that this imperialist Cecil Rhodes would name that. Well, what was the poacher's name? One was named Theo. This thing is about theology. The other one had love in his name. The second one, it's about going into Africa, misusing theology, teaching the people the crooked principle from the rib of the church, stretching the idea of the first commandment, love God with all your heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. Giving the people something to control them stronger than lion power, honey power, love power. Kenyatta, the leader of the Mama, the first country that Obama visited. No, we not buying that love. We bringing some lion power. Some burning spears to this thing. We got our juice back. We got our mojo back. We not buying it. So they grew their mane back. Some seven locks were removed. So, in that incident about the lion, we see love in one of the companions of Walter in theology, the other companion. Then we say that in this day of Yom Medin, that Allah will make this thing crystal clear. Then Obama went to Ethiopia, the land of Haile Selassie. He and those brothers knew that we had lost our lion. So they tried to fantasize and create this theology and this mythology around him. But it was a fantasy. None of that was real. Sorry, Rasta brothers and all that jaw stuff and black Jews. That didn't give you no line back. Can I prove it? That old European line before World War II, Mussolini, came over there and took over. A second-rate power out of Italy came over there and took Ethiopia over. So that visit to Ethiopia, by Obama was not about that. It was about the prophets, followers who immigrated, where there was an African king in Ethiopia. When he had his, back then we had our line power, and he was a Christian, but he did not follow a form of Christianity with that crooked reel, with that excessive artificial sweetener. And look what happened. One now returns with the name of one of the grandsons of the prophets, President Barack Hussein Obama. But unlike them, that time, the Hamitic king in Ethiopia were protecting the Muslim. The one under surreptitious Muslim influence was bringing civilization back to the Hamitic people in Africa. All praise is due to Allah. Why did it happen? If we look at his grandfather out of Kenya who became Muslim, he has Yang in his name. Y-A-N-G. When you take away the line mane from a man, when you take away his lion eyes, internal self, you reduce him to a boy under your charge. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Scratching and shuffling. But look at the line Obama came through. African men who had not lost that line, who had not lost that yang, not through Jesse, not through Al, men who ran for president but came through that slave docile system. Now, not all of our ancestors were docile now, but the majority were. So this one from Africa with that male lion yang came back as triumphant leader over the most powerful country in the history of the West. The Caucasian male recognized that yang and that line power when the African Americans, men, most of us do not. Because of our inferiority complex and our crazy competition, where every time we see a brother, we go back to raw primitive sex comparison. My genital or private parts is bigger than you, so I'm bigger than you. That's our attitude toward each other. So we can't see Obama. But that average Caucasian male sees him. The ones who want to vote for Donald Trump. The ones who want their wives and children to vote for Donald Trump because he will make America great again. Meaning he will make America great because he will put the white male back in charge with his lion power. Donald Trump symbolizes the fallen lion power of the Caucasian male, because Jacob has brought him to his fullness and now he's bringing him down, so that mass Caucasian sees that. And so he hates Obama. Not all, but that type, because he senses lion power in that son of Ham, and they think he's arrogant. This is not our boy. This is not Herman Cain. This is not Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. This is an independent strut lion who on his way to being Khalifa. So they got a fantasy going. As we get ready to bring this to a close, that somehow Donald Trump can bring that back. But it's broken. Humpty Dumpty had a set on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses and all the king men cannot put back Humpty white lion mane male dominance on this planet ever. Ever. In 1895, when Rhodesia was named after Cecil, Barack's grandfather was born in Kenya. A year earlier, in 1894, the late Benjamin Elijah Mays was born in 1894, August 1st. When Obama came south, he kicked off his campaign in the hometown right outside of Greenwood, South Carolina, the birthplace of Benjamin Mays. Over time and space, these men were born together. Hussein Obama's grandfather, and Benjamin Mays.
But seeing that there's no such thing as time and space, these two men were brought together through Greenwood, South Carolina. In the context of Greenwood, Mississippi, when Stokely Carmichael, not knowing what he said, yelled out in 1966, "We want black empowerment, we want black power, we want to bring back our line power. Give us back our line power." But physical protection and self-defense is not enough to rule. One must also have real honey, the type of honey that's revealed and talked about in Surah 16. In that movie theater where this fella, this distorted white male trying to show off his lung power in Lafayette, Louisiana, was 16. Happened grand 16. Look at Surah 16 to be. That's the real honey. That's a healing for men. And so we need the fire that came not out of Greenwood, Mississippi, but that the fire that Allah brought out of this green people, the African-American people, through a student of Quran, Imam Walter D. Muhammad, who came in his ministry when the temple was located on a place in Chicago called Greenwood Avenue. Allah put all this together. Dearly beloved audience, I just gave you in a roughly an hour what really should take almost a complete magazine or a journal to talk about. Allah is Akbar. We praise him, we exalt him, we glorify him. We got our line power back. Don't call us Sambo. And we don't need your artificial fake Roman like ruining the whole bluff and psychological warfare, barbaric lionism. We need the natural lionism that God has created combined with the natural honey that's revealed in Surah 16 of our Quran, and that was given to the one who came of age when the temple was on Greenwood, in sync with Hussein Obama's grandson, who made his move in Greenwood, in sync with the African-American line freedom fighter, Benjamin Mays, who was born a year before outside of Greenwood. And we know the history of Benjamin Mays with the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We know he was over Morehouse. And we know what the old African Moors did for civilization in Europe. And we know what we're going to do in New Africa under the healing vibes and honey of Al Quran. Dearly beloved audience, we greet you with the greeting of peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We're open for any comments or questions.
Yes,
Imam.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother Imam, for that wonderful exposition of the week's events and putting us in the proper context. Anyone like to ask questions or make comments, dial 805-727-7013. You can also send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Blinden, New Jersey, 07036. We continue to work on the 7th, the 8th, and 9th. We will be representing the mosque here at the Ummah Convention. The Ummah of North America organization. Dear beloved people, I have one question for you, Brother Imam, I'm sure you're familiar with the indictment of the former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hassert. And I was reading an article in the New York Review of Books wherein there's a critique of the indictment handed down in the Northern District of Illinois, the same district where they have convicted the former governor, Governor Glorovich, and convicted several governors, in fact. In fact, I think the, forget what circuit that is, has dropped some of the charges against Mr. Glorovich. I want to ask you about the legal term you all use called overreaching. Was the government or is the government overreaching with respect to Dennis, the Speaker, Hassert, and also overreaching when it, with respect to Governor Glorovich, who currently is a prisoner at the Federal Correctional Institution and there in Colorado? I'll shut up and listen to your comments.
Former Speaker of the House, Mr. Dennis Hastert, is cloaked with a presumption of innocence, notwithstanding the contents of the indictment. Secondly, Mr. Dennis Hastert is a powerful man, has access to powerful friends and supporters. A lot of times in America now, cases are won in the court of public opinion. So it's a wise strategic move to have a book published with that theory. But let me just say, they said the same thing about Marilyn Mosby, that the indictment was overbroad. Every time there is a disagreement with an indictment of powerful people, that's a charge. But the truth of the matter is, it's only an indictment. If it's overbroad, if it suffers from the legal term of art, the vice of overbreath, if that's indeed the case, when Mr. Hastert is given a trial by jury, and if the jury can see that the indictment was bogus and insubstantial, then he will be found innocent beyond a reasonable doubt. The question is not whether the verdict is erroneous, but man, we're talking about one early step in the criminal judicial process. As far as the former governor, if the indictment was overbroad, then the jury should have found him guilty. If he is in prison, it's not because of the indictment, it was because of an adverse verdict from the jury, who heard the case, deliberated upon the case, and rendered a considered verdict where they believe that the state had established the case, proved it convincingly beyond a reasonable doubt. Not the preponderance of the evidence, but beyond a reasonable doubt. Did I answer your question, my friend? Did I answer your question?
You certainly answered that question. I want to welcome Reverend Jesse L. Jackson, Lewis Jackson, the second out of jail. He's now out of jail, and we wish him the best. I see that one last reflection up on the law. I see that one of your federal judges have now resigned. I think he's going to resign effective August 1st. The judge in the case of your former governor is now stepped down.
Yes, sir. You forgot to mention another astounding
indictment by our dearly beloved brother, congressman up in Philadelphia.
It's Shaka
Fatah.
Yes.
Fatah. That's right. And we hope and pray that those charges alleged in indictment cannot be supported and substantiated before a jury. But if they are, then like all of us in this democratic process, we must reap the consequences of our actions.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. We always appreciate an enlightened and informed rendering of facts, I mean, of events that are taking place. And we're privileged to have a lawyer and a law professor. I wanted to ask you something that we put on the blog talk as a question.
Let me say, brother Imam, before I became a student of Imam Walter Dean Muhammad, let me just tell you what happened. I had been in undergrad school, the University of Georgia, a fervent activist, and I spent most of my time outside of the classroom. I barely graduated with a low grade point average. When it came for me to come to law school, I did not have a grade point average, even though I did well enough on the SAT. But thank God they had a program to help African Americans like me called CLIO. And during the summer I attended CLIO, it was located at the University of South Carolina in Columbia, South Carolina. Now, as an undergrad student, I graduated because I made A's in all my subjects in black studies and in African history. I loved it. But in other courses, my grade point was a disaster because I did not study. But Allah blessed me to see the opportunity in CLIO. And when I hit CLIO, I studied outside of the classes 8, 9, 10 hours a day. By the end of that 6 to 8 week period, I've forgotten how long, Allah had pretty much blessed me to master the science of legal analysis. When I went to the University of Miami, I was already there, but there were other African Americans that went there with me. Many ended up on probation that first year. But because I had paid that price at South Carolina, I understood the process so well that I could show them through a systematic strategy and process how to master that law thing and not get kicked out of law school. Mm-hmm. And all of those 6 African Americans ended up being successful those next two years because in that summer I put together a survival kit. But I learned that at CLIO. My point is, very soon I developed strong understanding of the legal system. Now, my brother tell me that he went back as an alumnus, University of Miami, gave a donation, checked around, and he found that the Caucasian students over the years had confiscated that survival kit, and the African American Law Student Union had lost it. So we had to put that back into their hands. But one of the most charitable things, brother Imam, that I take pride in a sense, not in a Muslim sense because I was not Muslim then, with his brother who became a powerful prosecutor, was about to pluck out, and he got a copy of that survival kit, and he ended up his last 2 years making the Dean Honor Roll almost every semester. I remember his name. I'm not going to call him. So when I make these legal comments, I'm making them out of an experience and a deep study that remains with me over the years, and I thank Allah for that. I hope I didn't take too much time with that explanation.
No, you didn't. In fact, I hope that at the convention next year, maybe even that Savior's Day, that you will conduct a workshop for our young people going to law school. You know what? I know this to be a fact.
If you study, excuse me, look, study objectively without
people,
a lot of emotionalism. That little lecture I gave today, brother, was almost like an argument that I would make in a trial. I'm going to be honest with you.
I heard it. And you always lay your case out as no trial. That's how I look at it. I prepare as one could prepare for trial. I wish some of the litigators from among us and even from among others were as prepared as you are. You know, this is also a very big tragedy with us as a people. I remember a time when our people would tell each other, boy, you can't mess around. You better be prepared. The African-American doctor was equipping the other African-American doctors, medical students. They would go in and help the young brother. And that's what we have stopped. And that's why we have ended up.
My brothers, to be honest, they didn't take advantage of Cleo. You know what we do. It was in the summer. It was a good time, please. And they got down. But they did not prepare themselves for law school. Most of us were admitted through Clio to University of Miami, those of us out of Georgia and Florida, but they were not prepared. And so the first year of law school hit them like a ton of bricks, and they fell
behind.
I've seen
many young people, African-Americans, go to the University of Wisconsin, hadn't gone to any programs, and flunk right out. You know,
That's right. You're familiar. Heavy attrition rate.
This is sad, and also, I mean, it's very sad when we realize the low percentage of bypassing at Howard University. And I just think that we, as a people, and that's the last question I'm going to ask, that we're not doing enough to pull each other up. What you did at the University
we
of Miami,
have to. It was no way. We didn't have that many that I was going to sit back and watch 6 African-Americans, intelligent people, all of the fact that they ended up finishing law school and going on to sterling careers in the law meant that they could do the work, but they were not prepared. But that didn't bother me. It was no way they were going to flock out.
We're losing that spirit. We have to bring that back. One of the things I want you to comment on before we go is I'm very concerned about what happened to the sister, the brother. But I'd like to spend 10% of my time on what has happened to us. I'd like to spend 90% of my time that I got left on earth to prepare us so we won't be sitting ducks. You know, I believe if we were a strong people, I don't believe people would shoot us down. I just don't believe that. I mean, they would know certainly.
There's no doubt about that. But again, we have to use our survival kit.
Yes.
From the arc of human survival that we have been given. If our people don't use that survival kit, brother, this calling that the man thought may or may not happen is going to actualize itself.
That's right.
We must utilize that survival kit.
And that means didn't Imam Muhammad start at the end of the Savior's Day calling them Ethnic Survival Day? And we still... We got
this great connection, brother, man. Wise connection, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, dear people, I'm not going to hold you up. Anybody else have questions Otherwise, I'm going to let you get to that good meal I know and some rest that you so deservingly need.
Let me say this. I told one of my granddaughters the science of college preparation. She using it to her tea. She went into college after graduating recently in May from high school. She used that system, and she turned it out, aced everything, mastered everything, and now she called me after Juma, said, Paul, let's go celebrate. So I'm getting ready to go celebrate with her.
Celebrate that excellent, brother. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum, and thank our honorable, noble listening audience. We're going to be on tomorrow with a very hot show, Should Black Women Date White Men? So y'all come on and listen to it. The Muslim sisters are going to conduct it. We get some hot, controversial subject. I just shut up, sit back, and listen, and moderate. So listen tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Thank you. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. Given in the Quranic language of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Imam. Have a blessed evening.
You too.